No one moved. He felt the embarrassment return. He was suddenly enormously tired. The faces were staring up at him like white stones. Some heads were down. He said, "Didn't mean to preach. Sorry. But I thought, you should know who we are." He had forgotten how tiring it was just to speak. "Well, this is still the army, but you're as free as I can make you. Go ahead and talk for a while. If you want your rifles for this fight, you'll have them back and nothing else will be said. If you won't join us, you'll come along under guard. When this is over, I'll do what I can to see that you get fair treatment. Now we have to move out." He stopped, looked at them. The faces showed nothing. He said slowly, "I think if we lose this fight, the war will be over. So if you choose to come with us, I'll be personally grateful. We have to move out." He turned, left silence behind him. Tom came up with the horse, a pale gray, light-footed animal. Tom's face was shiny red.
"My, Lawrence, you sure talk pretty."
Chamberlain grunted. He was really tired. "Rest a moment." He paused with his hands on the saddle horn. There was a new vague doubt stirring in his brain. Something troubled him. He did not know why.
"You ride today, Lawrence. You look weary."
Chamberlain nodded. Ellis Spear was up. He was Chamberlain's ranking officer, an ex-teacher from Wiscasset, who was impressed with Chamberlain's professorship. A shy man, formal but very competent, he gestured toward the prisoners. "Colonel, what do you suggest we do with them?"
"Give them a moment. Some of them may be willing to fight. Tom, you go back and see what they say. We'll have to march them under guard. Don't know what else to do. I'm not going to shoot them. We can't leave them here."
The regiment had formed out in the road, the color bearers in front. Chamberlain mounted, put on the wide-brimmed hat with the emblem of the infantry, began walking his horse slowly across the field toward the road. The uneasiness still troubled him. He had missed something. He did not know what. Well, he was an instinctive man. His mind would tell him sooner or later. Perhaps it was only that when you try to put it into words, you cannot express it truly. It never sounds as you dream it. But then, you were asking them to die. Ellis Spear was saying, "How far are we from Pennsylvania, Colonel? You have any idea?"
"Better than 20 miles, Chamberlain squinted upward. "Going to be another hot day."
He moved to the head of the column. The troops were moving slowly, patiently, setting themselves for the long march. After a moment, Tom came riding up. His face was delighted. Chamberlain said, "How many are going to join us?" Tom grinned hugely.
"Would you believe it? All but 6.
"How many?"
"I counted. By actual count, 114.
"Well," Chamberlain rubbed his nose, astounded. Tom said, still grinning,
"Brother, you did real good."
"They're all marching together?"
"Right.
Glazier's got the 6 hardheads in tow." "Well, get all their names and start assigning them to different companies. I don't want them bunched up. Spread them out. See about their arms."
"Yes, sir. Colonel, sir."
Chamberlain reached the head of the column. The road ahead was long and straight, rising toward a ridge of trees. He turned in his saddle, looked back, saw the entire 5th Corps forming behind him. He thought, 120 new men. Hardly noticeable in such a mass, and yet he felt a moment of huge joy. He called for road guards and skirmishers, and the 20th Maine began to move toward Gettysburg.